According to Mark, the first thing that's worth commenting on about Jesus of Nazareth is his baptism. And so Mark begins his gospel by introducing us to the person who will do the baptizing, John. It is in the baptizing that John finds out which of the hundreds of people he has submerged is the chosen one. It is in the act of baptism that the Messiah is identified by a Holy Spirit dove and by the voice of God as well, in case that dove wasn't quite good enough. In Mark, at least, there was apparently no holy glow, no permanent halo around Jesus' head, as in a medieval painting, that hinted to John that Jesus was the one. It is in the water. It is in the baptizing. Now, baptism has become an integral part of the Christian experience. We don't think of it as such an odd thing this far along after John the Baptist's life. In fact, we take it for granted. Perhaps too much. And in so doing, I think, we risk losing an important symbol, sign, and sacrament. We lose some of the importance that baptism should still have. Baptism has become so taken for granted that for many it is a social ritual, a time for a parent to be publicly honored for having a child. Sometimes a family will refer to it as getting a child done, as in, oh, since Aunt Millie is in town for Thanksgiving weekend, we thought we'd have little Jessica done. Like the sacrament is just something you do, a social custom akin to Little League or brownies. You could call this the get-her-done mentality. We'd like to get Jessica done on Sunday. Well, there are many reasons for taking baptism for granted, and certainly the church is partly to blame for this. In the 1940s on into the 60s, the accoutrements of the faith were very much taken for granted, both in church and in public life in our society. Organized prayer was in school, scripture was read in classes, and so on. It was part of the ethos that said, yes, the United States is based on freedoms, but really, we are a Christian nation, so all of this is okay. There was a confusing and intertwining of the call to be a Christian and to be a good citizen. This led to a very lax understanding of baptism since, well, if we're all Christians, then why not baptize anyone at any time and anywhere? The meaning and importance, the sacrament part of baptism, was at risk of being lost. This is accentuated when parents express their preference for having the baptism of their child at home rather than in worship, or having it in the chapel with just the minister and family. You see, in the Reformed tradition, denominations like Presbyterian or Congregational or the Reformed churches, which are descended directly from John Calvin's Reformation, baptism is not a private act of a family, but rather a public act of the church. And that's why our font is out here instead of in the chapel. That's also why our liturgy of baptism is centered on questions being answered by the person being baptized, or if that person is an infant, those questions are answered for that child by the parents. And there are questions for the congregation, too. It's an act of the community. Now, it is one of the central beliefs of Reformed theology that we are not loved by God because we have earned that love. God loves us even when we are infants, too young to have done anything to deserve or earn God's acceptance. Even being baptized doesn't earn God's acceptance. Baptism merely causes us to recognize and celebrate that which is already true. Think about your own baptism. When you were baptized, you did not suddenly become a child of God. You were already one when you woke up crying that first night home from the hospital, or when you spit up your mush the morning of your baptism. Or if you were older when you were baptized, you were already one when you got dressed to go to church that day. The sacrament did not change the order of things. It did not alter your relationship with God. Instead, your baptism confirmed that which was already a reality. The act of baptizing with water is an outward, visible sign of an inward, invisible grace. Well, you might be wondering, okay, Glenn, but if we are all children of God, whether baptized or not, what makes baptism so important? Well, we do baptisms because it is difficult for a person to know if he or she is a child of God until he or she is baptized. You don't learn your identity anywhere else but in the church. Just as John didn't know Jesus' true identity until Jesus' baptism, the act of baptizing tells us and the whole community who we really are. See if this analogy helps. The coronation of Queen Elizabeth of England in 1953 did not make her royalty. Because of the hereditary succession of the title of monarch, the fact that she was next in line for the throne is why she was made queen. And this happens automatically whenever the current monarch dies or abdicates. A coronation is only a public demonstration and declaration of the reigning monarch who was royalty already by birth. In Elizabeth II's coronation, the English nation said publicly, "This woman is royalty, so we put a crown on her head." At baptism, the church says, "This person is royalty, so we baptize her." It is a public sign of the inner reality of our status as heirs to the covenant with God. Now, this Reformed understanding of baptism differs from other denominations. We do not believe we can do anything to earn our salvation and acceptance by God, even being baptized. There are some denominations who believe baptism is essential to ensure God's acceptance. Thus, they believe that all people must be baptized, that baptism protects a baby from hell. Such parents are anxious to have their child baptized lest something happen to her. But baptism is not a magical event that makes God love the person baptized. Our actions don't change God's mind or spur God's love. We move in baptism from darkness to light, from death to light only by the love and power of God. A small church in Latin America, in a Latin American village, has a very powerful way of doing baptisms. After prayers and scripture and sermon, the family of a child to be baptized processes down the center aisle, and as they start slowly walking, the congregation sings a mournful tune. The family procession is solemn, and the father who comes down first, he carries a child's coffin, which is wooden and handmade. And right behind him is the mother who carries a bucket of water from the family well. And then comes the pastor who is carrying their sleeping infant wrapped in a traditional blanket from that area. And he is followed by the rest of the family. Well, as they reach the chancel, the father places the coffin on the table and opens the lid and steps aside. The mother comes and she pours the water from the bucket into the coffin and stands beside the father. And the pastor approaches the table, and as he does so, the rest of the family that was behind him sits in a pew. The pastor comes around to this side of the table so that he is facing the congregation, and he unwraps the baby and wipes embalming oil on his stomach. And at this point, the singing is down to just a hum. The pastor then takes the baby and lowers that child into the coffin and immerses his head in the water as he sadly says, "You are dead, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And it's at that point the congregation and the family loudly says, "Amen," upon which the pastor quickly raises the baby up for all to see and joyfully says, "And I resurrect you that you might love and serve the Lord." And the congregation sings an Easter hymn, and the child is then wiped with baby oil and wrapped in a homemade white robe. And the pastor makes a sign of the cross on the child's forehead and says, "I brand you with the sign of Christ so that you and the world will know who you are and to whom you belong." The congregation then comes forward and they pass the peace with this newest member of their church family. It has been over 45 years since the pastor of the Presbyterian Church in Akron, Ohio, took me in his arms, held me over a silver bowl, and put water on my head, called me by name, and told me I was part of the household of God. It was in the baptizing that I found out who I was. And even after all this time, in spite of all I have done or not done, a little bit of that water still fills my shoes. Let us pray. Lord God of all people, for the fact that you love us long before we can love you, that you forgive us even after we fail to love you or others, and that your steadfast love is so wondrously confirmed and shown to us in baptism, we give you thanks. Amen.